Well, it's that time again. Hopefully y'all can handle hearing the monotony of my voice a little bit longer. I promise to, I don't know how many times I've said this in reference to trying to shorten a service or at least my sermon, but I really am very confident that I'm going to be able to do that today. I prayed about it. I worked hard on it, and so maybe I'll surprise even myself. And Adele will be very happy as well. Before we open up the Bible, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for today. That it's a day that's designated that we get to celebrate moms, but really moms are a day that we should. Or moms are a people that we should celebrate every day. God, like Sunday is a day that is designated to come and worship you, but God, you are a being that should be worshiped and praised every day. And so I pray that our life between services on Sunday are no different than it is here, that we open our hearts to your word every day like we are going to do now. And allow that word to penetrate inside, leaving us feeling inspired, encouraged, whatever the need may be, that draws us closer and closer to you. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 12. And I just have, I have three scriptures and three, albeit I think pretty brief points this morning. They're going to center and focus on from Scripture our moms and the impact that they have in our lives. But it doesn't, even though we're addressing and lifting up and honoring moms, there isn't anything that we're going to talk about that can't be applicable to all of us. You know, God figured out how to be dad and mom, best friend. Spurring us on discipling partner. I mean, he is all things. And so regardless of the topic, when the word's open, we can all we can take from it. And that's the plan this afternoon. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes to the church, he says, "Therefore I urge you, mothers," right? But also brothers and sisters, dads, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." You know, now to be honest, I have a hard time with themed related services like special day services, whether it's an Easter or a Christmas or like a Mother's Day. It intimidates me more than anything else as a preacher. Because they're so well documented, well preached. You've gone to, there are certain services that people that may not traditionally go to church will go to, and it's like the pressure is on, you know, as a preacher to deliver something that's new, especially for something that's so overdone. So when I was thinking about this service, you know, I thought about this passage, and I thought, golly, is that not what a mom does? Offering herself as a living sacrifice. I think about my mom. And, you know, God bless her. She grew up with, was married to a man and had two boys that loved sports and loved baseball. And her entire, from like the 1st of April through October, every single night of the week at 7:05 on TBS, we watched the Braves game. And my mom lovingly, maybe sometimes painstakingly, watched the baseball games. Several Mother's Days in a row through high school and in college, what she wanted to do for Mother's Day was go to a Braves baseball game at Turner Field. You know, why? All I could think of is because she wanted to sacrifice herself for the things that her family loved. When I look at my own wife, the mother of my children. We were talking about it on the car ride over. We were sharing things of encouragement about mom. And as I was thinking about Kristen, I was moved so much to emotion, to tears, about so many times I see Kristen have plans in a day. Something that she wants to do, somewhere she wants to go, whether it's for a run or go do yoga or go have this or do that or whatever. And then the kids descend and it's, Mommy, can we do this? Or, hey, I want to do this. Or can we have this? And it's, I mean, she always ends up, it seems like, not doing the things that she wants to do. But she chooses to. It's her choice. She makes the choice. She sacrifices her wants, needs, and desires for our children, for them. And I thought, I was praying about it this morning on a walk, and I was just like, God, please help me to be that way. Because I don't, when I look at the mom of my children and I see the way that she offers herself as a living sacrifice to our family. I understand part of a sermon like this is hard because not all of us maybe had awesome moms or on a Father's Day had awesome fathers. Hopefully, even if we didn't biologically, we did have a father or mother figure in our life that treated us this way. And even if not, God was a mother to us, perfect the way that this scripture defines. I love that scene in the movie The Shack that came out a year or two ago, and I hadn't read the book, Kristen did, but God, the first part of the movie anyway, was in the form of a woman. And God made a comment about, you know, that in that, in terms of the guy was like, I just wasn't expecting you to be a woman. And God made a point, hey, I am who you need me to be at that time. And so regardless of our upbringing, regardless of the moms that we had, whether they were awesome and hopefully so, or not so much, God lived his life out here on earth as a living sacrifice for us. And so we can, no matter what, we can look to him to appreciate what that example is. And hopefully to inspire us to also live our lives in view of God's mercy as living sacrifices for one another. We've been talking a lot about, you know, our church and relationships and growing forward and moving forward. And I think, you know, I was thinking about that, like how much further, how much quicker we would progress in our faith, in our relationships with one another, if we approached our relationships with each other, with the church, in view of God's mercy to offer ourselves in sacrifice to one another. To lay down our lives for one another. How can I sacrifice and serve you? This is how we should live for him. This is how we should live for each other. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, we're just going to stop there. You know, moms, there is now no condemnation for her, for you who are in Christ Jesus. Now, moms, even though you may feel you are not condemned, by the messy home in the mountain of laundry awaiting for you upon your return today, right? You're not condemned by your personal sins. Yeah. How you feel your shortcomings in front of your family. You are not condemned by your lack of desire to have more kids. Sometimes, especially if you have some hellions running around, it can be like, and that's okay. Just because you may not want more, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people want a big family. Kristen was showing me, y'all know I am detached from the social media world. Kristen was telling me of a good friend of mine that I grew up with who, he and his wife, she's pregnant with their fourth, and just didn't see them and her as four. But some people want big families. You don't need to feel condemned if that's not you. If you're just happy right where you're at, that's okay. You're not condemned, moms, even though you feel it when you read another's perfect parenting moment on Facebook. Right? Don't we all like to just under our breath? See, the beauty of not having social media is you don't have to worry about all that. It's so much more peaceful. You don't have to get caught up in all of that. You're not condemned by your ability or inability to cook good meals, maybe. Amen. Right? Or cycle through the same couple every other day. You should not feel condemned. You're not condemned because your kids are not normal. Amen. Some people, we had some friends in Athens, the John and Shannon Malutinot, and it was like, what happened? Like, what did they do to receive such favor from the Lord that their kids were just, they never made a peep? They could just sit. You know, they could sit longer than some of you guys can at church. Like, just without getting up or any, I mean, just like, you know, these little halos. You take a picture, you don't see the halo, but you take a picture of it, and there's like a halo just over their kids. You know, I love my kids, but they're not normal like that. You know, God bless Anna, babysat last night, and, you know, we asked how they did, and overall they did well, but she was like, you know, Andrew would take a bite of his dinner and then run off, and then he would come back and take a bite, and then he would run off. It's like, we don't do this. This is not normal behavior. But moms, you shouldn't feel condemned if your kids are not normal. You're not condemned because you are divorced or unmarried and doing it alone. You don't need to feel bad or condemned about that. You're not condemned by your desire to be alone, away from the kids, for a time, every single day. You shouldn't feel bad about that. Mommy's needing mommy time every day away from the kids. You're not condemned by your physical appearance. You shouldn't feel condemned about that, regardless of how you feel like you want to look or you do look. You are perfectly created in God's image. You're not condemned by your repeat failures as a mother. We all blow it. We mess up. Thank God our kids are resilient and they bounce back. But you don't need to feel condemned. Thank God for His grace and short-term memories for our children. You know, my dad apologized over and over and over and over and over again throughout my entire life, especially as I got older. He would apologize for all the ways that he was not a good dad. And I've told him so many times, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, because I just don't remember. And that's the awesomeness of kids. You know, you're not condemned by your rebellious children. For those who don't listen or respect you, or don't at times, or have wandered away, or who express no interest right now, you're not condemned by that. You're not condemned by the frustration of having to scrape up macaroni and cheese off the kitchen floor again. You're not condemned by all the fears and tears which flirt with insanity that take you to the peak of losing your mind, right? You're not condemned by not being able to throw the birthday party of the year. In our house, that's a praise Jesus for mom and dad. You're not condemned for not feeding your kids homemade meals whose ingredients were recently purchased from Whole Foods or the Fresh Market, right? When you pull out the fish sticks or the chicken nuggets again, We're not condemned for that. You're not condemned by your need for a vacation without your kids, right? And you're not condemned because you may not be able to take your kids on the most extravagant or exciting vacations either. Some of the best, you know, I know we went on some great vacations as a kid, but my best memories were not of the vacations, like the big trips that we took. It was from what we did and created in the home. So don't feel, Mom, worse for a second because you may see other people getting to take elaborate trips and maybe you haven't yet. You're not condemned for not living up to the standards of your mother or mother-in-law. And you're not condemned by the stares of those who don't have kids when your ears erupt into volcanic screams in public places. Right? And if you've had a 0 through 2 or 3 year old, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Moms, you're not condemned, but you are praised and honored and lifted up. But so it is for all of us in Christ. For all of us, that's what it says, that we are not condemned for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to face the condemnation that the world and that Satan tries to throw at us. You don't have to. You're not condemned because you stub your toe. You're not condemned because, you know, you didn't react or respond the right way. You're not condemned because you didn't offer the best or whatever the case may be. We don't have to face that condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because that's why he came to set us free, free from condemnation. Close out in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans 8, verse 37 says, "No, in all things she is more than a conqueror." Now, moms, that's something you need to let sit deep, deep, down, deep down in your heart. That you, Mom, are more than a conqueror. You may not feel like a conqueror all the time. When the pile of laundry is sat for days and days, you may not feel like you have conquered much of anything, but you are more than a conqueror. You may not feel like you're more than a conqueror when you're not seeing the fruit of your labor with your children. When you're not understanding why they are not responding the way that you want them to. But you are more than a conqueror. And the good things and the good seed that you are planting in the hearts of those children, young or old, they are seeds planted. They may hear it. You may not see the fruit of it now, but don't give up that faith, because one day you will see Jesus conquer in their lives. You may not feel, you know, like a conqueror when it comes to you know, your marriage to your husband. But you are. You are more than a conqueror as disciples. And we are, and you are, through him who loved you. Not because we in and of ourselves are anything awesome and special, but Kristen, you are, of course. And you all are. All are awesome and special. But we conquer. You conquer as Mom through over the trials and the hardships and the times when you have to persevere and when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You conquer because of him, because of Jesus who loved you. You are more than a conqueror, Moms, both in this physical life, as you conquer and overcome each day, but also in the eternal lives of your families, of your kids, and from everybody that you come in contact with. And the same goes for the rest of us as well. Moms, non-moms, you know, the same is true for all of us, that we know we are more than conquerors because of the love of Christ. We can conquer the sin. We can conquer over into the relationships that have been hurt or wounded. We can conquer when it comes to seeking and saving the lost, overcoming our fear. So proud of Lydia getting up and you. And that was so encouraging. And you did such an awesome job, Lydia. And so proud of you. But whatever it is, we can conquer. And we don't have to tread lightly. We don't have to be timid, because that's not who God created us to be. But that we can walk out onto those battlefields of lives, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, man and woman, like David walked out onto that battlefield. Not because of David and how awesome he was with a sling, but because of Jesus, because of God, because who fights with us and for us. We can conquer all things. We can conquer all. Amen. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.